I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Gene Phelps.
I'm Blake Morgan, and this is Prep Rally,
a podcast covering high school sports in Northeast Mississippi. Everybody, welcome into a new episode of Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com, coming to you every Wednesday here. I'm your host, Brad Locke, joined, per usual, by Gene Phelps.
I'm here.
And Blake Morgan.
I'm here, too.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Doing all right. Doing trying to get my voice back.
I hear
you.
The
doctor for the third time.
Well, I've got a sinus infection that's kind of messing with me, too, so hopefully I can. People can
I feel pretty good. Yeah.
Okay, well, the young guy feels great.
My doctor told me yesterday, well, you'll wake up one day and it'll be gone. And I said, or either I'll be gone.
Well.
In that case, I won't wake up.
Thanks, Doc. we'll try to muddle through here. I know you guys have been just all over the basketball scene. We've had a ton of basketball lately, which is what we're going to talk about today because, you know, it's January. Ain't a whole lot else to talk about. A lot of good basketball going on. Before we get into it, I want to remind you that you can listen to this podcast a variety of ways. iTunes, of course, Google Play, any of your podcast apps like Player.fm, Satchel, Stitcher. And, of course, you can stream it at PrepRally.DJournal.com. Also, remember to follow us on Twitter at DJournalPreps. So, as I mentioned, a lot of basketball, a lot of county tournaments took place last week. Also, you guys were out at a couple of games last night, Hernando and Tupelo, and also Oklahoma, Calhoun City. We'll talk about that. We're going to talk about Jarkel Joyner. Blake had a good column last week about the Oxford standout. Going to talk about what's coming up this weekend. Got a big tournament down in Choctaw County, but it's involving several area teams, so we'll get a preview of that. And, of course, we'll have Athletes of the Week, as we always do, where we honor a male and female athlete for their accomplishments from this past week. Let's start with the basketball weekend review, the Prentice County Tournament, Gene. Boonville girls, no surprise, winning. Baldwin boys, no surprise, winning.
Still, the Prentice County is still the basketball capital of the universe.
Yeah, that was
the
probably
old game program said years ago.
probably the best county tournament we had there.
It was, especially the boys' matchups. And for the first time in a long time, to have four teams playing in the boys' semifinals. You had Boonville playing New Site. You had Baldwin playing Wheeler.
Mm-hmm.
Those were just two really good boys' games. They played out. They were all exciting.
And I know that with Wheeler, they've been off to a really good start, but we were really kind of waiting to see how they fared against Baldwin. That'd be a good measuring stick for Wheeler. Obviously, Baldwin wins, but what'd you see from the Eagles there?
I saw, when I talked with Mitch Howell, he said, I got five kids scoring in double figures. And I go, okay. And then I saw him play, and – those are five pretty good kids.
Yeah.
And I can see how they've gone through 1A and are like 14-2 right now.
Yeah.
They're really talented. They just weren't maybe athletic enough late in the game.
Yeah.
And that's where Baldwin's a great defensive team.
Yeah.
Grant Goolsby's really defensive minded. And he told me his motto was one shot, tough shot.
Yeah.
So you better defend everything everybody shoots, layups, jumpers, everything. Make them shoot, and let's just get the rebound.
Yeah.
And that's what won out. That was the difference in that game. Baldwin won 53-40, but it was a close game, an exciting game. Cole Sweeney had 16 points. I believe his daddy's Todd Sweeney. I'm not sure. He could be a relative. No calls, please. But he's a Sweeney, and Sweeney's a big name in Wheeler.
Yep.
And he scored 16 points. And I don't have their roster in front of me, but I was really impressed with Wheeler's basketball team, man for man in that starting lineup.
Yeah,
I can see, like I told somebody, I see how they'll shred through 1A.
Right, exactly. And we mentioned Boonville's girls winning, which I would say they were the favorite going into that.
They were, but I'm going to tell you what, props to Byron Sparks, New Site's coach.
Yep.
He does not have the ensemble to be on the court with Boonville, yet he was out there right in the middle of them. And his players stood their ground. It wound up being an exciting game. And like I wrote, the bottom line was Boomer went to the free throw line at the end, hit 2-12, and the final was 47-39. So you tell me they were right there with them.
Certainly.
And Usite's a good team.
Yeah.
But there's no way, if you matched them up, as we like to say, on paper, you would have made Boonville a 10-15 point favorite on paper.
Yeah, moving on to the Union County tournament now, Blake. Ingemar gets the sweep there with the titles, the boys and girls both winning. No surprise there, the girls just rolling along as usual.
Yeah, they just really blasted everyone in the tournament. I only saw the championship day on Saturday because I was at the Lee County tournament on Friday.
Right.
But, yeah, they tore through West Union, who's really, really young. West Union will be pretty good in 2 to 3 years, but just not their time right now. But, yeah, Ingemar girls, Trent Adair, you know, it's got them rolling once again.
Yeah, and then the Ingemar boys winning a close one over East Union, 43-42. Kelton Hall had a big free throw late. He ended up with 16 points. But, you know, Ingemar they got another good team. But I do want to mention East Union. They're kind of putting together a solid season there behind Ty McDonald, aren't they?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And they, they came up just so close winning the championship. They just had too many turnovers, right? And I wish I could have written more about it, but it was the late game. I was on deadline. But they really struggled with the press a little bit. Ingemar really got up into them in the backcourt in the press, and they just had too many live ball turnovers, just giving Ingemar easy baskets. Second half, they cut it down, and East Union made a comeback. And like I said, I mean, they were right there at the very end, and just Ty had a shot at the end to a three to try to win it and missed it. And
yeah, but he's a good player.
He's a great player, yeah. they wouldn't be where they are right now without him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. The Lee County tournament, you mentioned you were there on, I guess, Friday. You weren't there. I think David Wheeler covered the finals.
Yeah, Wheeler covered it, yeah.
But still, you got to look at some of these teams. Morville's girls beating Shannon for the girls' title. And then on the boys' side, Saltillo beating Shannon. I don't know if you might consider that a bit of an upset. I know they got a good boys' team there at Saltillo.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've talked a lot about Shannon, C.J. Brim. I know he's been playing on a hobbled ankle. But Saltillo's boys, I mean, I think you've seen those guys earlier this year. Got a solid squad there, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And C.J. Brim, I saw him on Friday, and he was looking better than what he did earlier when we did the podcast last week.
Right.
So he's getting a little bit better. So, but Saltillo, I saw them earlier in the year. They lost pretty bad to Baldwin. And, you know, I talked to Coach Craig Lauderdale about it, and he was saying, well, we're not healthy. We're missing our point guard, Julian Warren. He's saying once we get him back, we're going to be a different team. And you never know if, you know, a coach is just kind of saying that or if his excuse. Lauderdale was for real. They look like a completely different team when I saw them on Friday. And then obviously for them to come out and beat Shannon, they're a totally different team. And I'm excited. I'm going Friday to see Saltillo versus Oxford.
Well,
hopefully that'll be
a good matchup
as well.
Yeah, Saltillo and Oxford. You mentioned the kid, what was his name? Julius Warren.
Julian Warren.
That kind of runs the show there for the Tigers. So that was the Lee County tournament there. And then a Monroe County tournament, I believe we had Melissa Metter out at that one. Aberdeen gets the sweep with the girls and the boys in the Monroe County tournament. Let's go back to last night. Yeah, you guys were both out of games. Let's start with you, Blake. And you went to Calhoun City to see the Wildcats host Okolona. Not just for whatever various reasons, we haven't gotten to talk a lot about Okolona or maybe cover a lot of Okolona. But, I mean, they're 16-1 now.
16-1. I was impressed with them.
And Calhoun City's got – they're a pretty good team, and they got one of the area's best players in LaDavious Drain.
Mm-hmm.
But Okolona obviously has some horses. Cam Smith had 33 points. We've talked about LaDarius Spears before. He had a big game as well. I mean, this is a team come postseason that they could go a long way.
Oh, absolutely. And they're 16-1. Their only loss was beginning of the year to Tupelo.
Yeah.
And Cam Smith wasn't even that healthy then. And he's just now starting to round into form. And It's a dangerous combo with Smith on the outside, and he's about 6'5", but he's got tremendous range.
Wow.
And then Spears down low is, I was talking to our one of our writers, Ethan Turner. He was at the game last night as well, and he's saying he's seen a lot of Okolona. And we were just talking before the game when they were going through the shoot-around. I was like, whoa, who is that on Okolona? He's like, oh, that's Spears, man. He's a 6'6". I mean, he's a tank down low, and he dominates the paint.
Yeah, yeah, he was a big factor in that win. The final score, I may have failed to mention it, 92-78. I mean, that's putting up some points there. Calhoun City drops to 10-8, but that was their first division loss, so they're 4-1 in division. Okolona improved to 2-0 in division. I don't have Spears' numbers in front of me, but what kind of impact did he have that night?
I wish I had the stats on his blocks, because he started out, he didn't get very many, and then the second half he just started swatting everything. But even the ones that he doesn't swat, he alters and makes them miss, and he just gobbles up the rebounds. It makes the life difficult for the other team down low, right? Because, I mean, if you can't
especially
score the basket, it's tough.
Especially the 2A level. I mean, it's
exactly.
A lot of teams aren't going to have that big guy in the middle that can alter shots like that.
No, not at all.
He's one of those guys. I saw him up there in Corinth at the Lighthouse, and he's a big guy. It's hard for a 6'6 guy to disappear, but sometimes he kind of does.
Yeah, absolutely.
But then when he makes his presence known, it's like, get out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, he becomes a shot blocker, a rebounder, a scorer.
Going back a few years, Gene, I'm pretty sure you saw this kid play, Jeremy Newsome, back when I was covering preps. About the same size, and was that kind of guy who, when he was on, he could completely dominate inside on both ends. I remember I covered a game at Shannon. He had like, it's like 51 points and 32 rebounds. Wow. It was ridiculous. I don't know if you can compare those two guys.
Well,
or not.
Spears, I can't ever imagine him getting 52 points. he just doesn't have the polish offensively or necessarily the hands to catch the ball down low. He dropped a lot of.
But he's more passes. Of a defensive presence.
Yeah, and he can kind of disappear at times. But I mean, like I said, though, even when he's not getting the blocks, though. The guys are having to, you know, they think twice about going up for a layup, right?
He's more like a lineman.
Yeah. So Newsom. Maybe defensively there may be some similarities there with Newsom. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because Newsom could play some defense and a rebound. But that was many, many moons ago. But I want to talk a little more about this Cam Smith kid. I mean, he had 6 3-pointers. We mentioned 33 points. He just lit it up and kind of put the squash on any rally hopes that Calhoun City had.
There was three or four instances in the game when Calhoun City, they were down 13 before you could blink. And, you know, I was talking to Darren Coffey, the Calhoun City coach, about the game, and I was saying, you know, if you take away the first 4 minutes, you'll actually probably outplay him. And he's like, you're right. We really do. But, you know, obviously the first 4 minutes counted, and they lost. But Calhoun City, it was three or four different times in the game. They cut the lead to single digits or so, and then Cam Smith would hit a three, and that would just kind of kill the run. He's a 6'5 kid. You wouldn't totally know it by the way he plays. You know, he's more of a perimeter guy. He's not a down low banger, kind of like Spears is. But he's got some really good range. And I talked to Okolona's coach about him, and he was saying, well, he's been hurt. His shot's been off all year, but he's finally starting to get going. And I mean, they're 16-1 without him playing 100% all year. So now that he is, they're really dangerous.
I know Spears is a junior. Correct.
Cam Smith is a junior.
Smith
as well.
Is a junior as well. Wow.
Yeah, and I saw that team they beat in the Lighthouse, Okolona did, was Ashland, the defending state champion in 1A.
Yeah, that's
and
a good team.
Still a very good
team. Exactly. Let's switch gears. Gene, talk about the game you were at Tuesday night. Tupelo hosting Hernando in a Division 2-6A matchup. Boys and girls both getting the wins. Let's start with the boys. 65-52 was the final. You know, Hernando didn't have a great record, but they were pretty scrappy, weren't they?
They are, and they've got two sophomore guards. One of them's about 5'5", the other one's about 5'7". They were putting up some points, and Tupelo was having trouble matching up with them. And Tupelo's very athletic, and Tupelo's very deep. And it wound up being, what, a 13-point game, but it was a lot closer than that. Tupelo got some separation. It was a one-point game about with 6 minutes left.
Okay,
and Tupelo got some separation down the stretch and had some kids step up, some of the usual suspects like Herford.
Yeah.
And those guys.
And it seems like every night it's someone different for Tupelo. I mean, last night the leading scorer was Taj Crump.
Yes.
So you say at 17 points. And then, you know, you had Hereford, you mentioned, and Nick Ratliff. Ratliff had 12 points.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, I mean, you spread it around. And, you know, Norwood was happy with – Jeff Norwood, the head coach, was happy with the win. He wasn't really thrilled with their play. But, like you said, they better get to playing right because they got three consecutive road games in the division coming up.
Wow.
So they've got to go to South Panola, and they've got to go to Hernando, and they've got to go to Columbus. And while Columbus isn't having a great year, they got Robert Woodard Jr.
So yeah, that makes them dangerous.
Robert Woodard III, I believe.
Right, right. The girls, I know girls coach Matt Justice probably wouldn't especially pleased with the way his team played, 60-52. They get the win, but they'd been off for like a week and kind of sluggish.
Yeah, and Matt's always upbeat. We were talking, Blake and I were talking. He's always upbeat no matter how they play. They, you know, they're having a great season, and Hernando is 12-7, so they came in 12-6, and they weren't a bad team.
Yeah.
So they gave Tupelo a fight, too. So it wasn't an easy night for the Golden Wave at home, and those are two potential games they could lose on the road next week.
Yeah. Exactly. So Tupelo's boys and girls both now 2-0 in Division 2-6A. Let's switch gears and go. Let's go back to Blake here. He had a column last week, Blake. I think it ran Friday, in the prep page about Jarkel Joyner, the big scoring guard for Oxford High School, averaging with 37 points a game.
37.4.
He dropped 52 a couple weeks ago at the Tangle on the Trail in Pontotoc. And just a guy that just gets it in the basket a variety of ways, inside, outside, mid-range. And first, let's go over some of his numbers. He said
37.4.
Okay, that's
what
his
he's averaging this year, which according to Max Preps is either first or second, kind of changes every game. By tenths of a point, if he's not number one in the country scoring, he's number two.
Right, right.
His totals for 2017 so far this year is 34 against DeSoto Central, 52 career high against Calhoun City, 34 against North Pontotoc, 45 against New Hope, 36 against West Point. And those all-in wins and the 30-point games were usually 20-point victories where he didn't really play too much in the second half.
And it's not like they're playing a bunch of cupcakes either, necessarily. Yeah.
Right,
and
no,
now they're getting
not
into,
at all.
Now they're getting into a division play.
Yeah, and it's like you said, it's not like Drew Tyler's leaving him in to throw up his average. He's, you know.
He'll go and sit.
You know, you're going to let your guy play some, but you got to pull him out doing it. You don't want to get – that's when a guy gets hurt in a game like that.
Yeah.
And you're already up.
Mm-hmm. And it's not like he's the only weapon Oxford has. Terry Williams.
The guard, he's averaging 20 a game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not a one-man show there by any means, but he just happens to be a cut above everybody else. What fascinates me, and I read it in your column, I was like, that can't be right. You said you wrote something about basically nobody's recruiting this guy. He's got doesn't have a star rating on the recruiting websites. So I went and looked him up on 24/7 Sports, and he's listed. There's no stars, and it has him with like one offer. I'm like, what? Am I missing something? I mean,
it's unbelievable.
I haven't seen the kid play. You have. And I've seen kids over the years who put up a lot of points, put up good stats, but the college coaches don't really get on them, probably because, you know, maybe it's the level of competition they're playing or just the style of player they are. And the college coaches are like, you know, they just won't be able to make that transition to the next level. In a lot of the cases, the coaches are right. They don't. You'll see kids that put up big numbers in high school that can't do it in college, or they have to go to a smaller school to do it. But, I mean, just based on everything I've read and seen and heard, again, this guy, he's got good size.
Yeah. That's kind of the thing.
And he can score a number of ways.
Yeah, whereas, one guy we've talked a lot about is C.J. Brim, who's having a terrific year.
I mean,
you look at him, and you look at him, and you know, that's not he just doesn't have the Division I body, right?
Right.
A lot of his scoring is, quicker than people, which at the Division I level, he wouldn't be.
Right.
Jarkel Joyner, he's like 6'1". He's got big shoulders, so I mean he's got size, and he doesn't beat people by just being faster than them or by just having unlimited range where he just shoots over people.
Right.
He's scoring alley-oop dunks. He's scoring mid-range. He's scoring three-pointers. He's scoring in every way possible.
And he's got a pretty good vertical, doesn't he?
Oh, man, yeah. His alley-oop dunk that I saw on the Tangle on the Trail was – well, one of the most unbelievable dunks I've ever seen in high school.
I mean, I've seen – I don't know what colleges are looking for. I've seen kids that are 5'8" play in college.
The Harrison kid at Ole Miss, remember
that's
him a few
exactly
years
what
ago.
I'm thinking about. And my wife asked me one time, well, how did he get to play? I said, well, when you're that size, you better be able to shoot or do something. Mm-hmm. You better be super quick and score. Well, Jarkel Joyner is 6'3".
Yeah.
Is he 6'3"? What is he?
I would say he's probably close to 6'1".
Really?
Yeah.
6'1", 6'2".
Yeah, he's in that range. But he's going to Cal State Bakersfield.
Yeah.
Play for Rod Barnes.
Yeah, way out. Yeah, Rod Barnes, former Ole Miss coach.
And the only connection they have there is, you know, I may have said this on the show, his dad used to cut Rod's hair. His dad was a barber.
Yeah.
Joyner. But Joyner went out there for a visit, and I imagine he was like, hey, pretty nice out here in Bakersfield.
Yeah, warm weather.
And he's the perfect mid-major kid.
Yeah, I mean, he's 6'1", 168, according to 24/7 Sports. So not like super, not like great size, but number one, I think with that kind of vertical he's got, that makes up for it a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, I mean, a guard doesn't have to be six. You don't have to have a bunch of 6'5 guards.
And he doesn't
Division
have short one. Arms. His arms are pretty long, too.
Obviously. I mean, if he can go get that dunk you talked about, I haven't seen it, but basically it looked like it was unreachable.
Yeah.
And he's 6'1" and goes up and gets it and throws it down. So really, to me, I don't see how the size would be that big of a turnoff for Division
I
colleges.
Well, and for a guard, I mean, 6'1", that's not that bad. I guess my thing, I can't believe that he's not really being recruited all that much, and I can't believe that Ole Miss or State haven't thrown him an offer or something. I mean,
I can't believe a mid-major around here or someone like Middle Tennessee or somebody.
Yeah, somebody.
Southern Miss. I mean, you know.
He's the leading scorer in the nation. I mean, that counts.
You could
something.
Pair LaDavius Drain from Calvin City, which we talked about, just committed to Southern Miss.
Yeah.
I mean, I would be all over trying to pair up Drain and Joyner in the same backcourt.
Yeah, that Florida Gulf Coast, all these teams, these mid-majors.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, you know, go back a few years. Kenny Paulgino, who's a senior now at Georgia, played at Boonville.
Right.
Mississippi State didn't offer him. I don't think – did Ole Miss offer him?
No.
I don't think so. And he was, you know, he, much like Jarkel Joyner, not a huge kid, but he just could score. He could jump. He could do a lot of – get the ball in the basket a number of different ways. Again, Ole Miss and State didn't go after him. He did end up going Division I to Georgia. You know, he's had an okay career. He did not end up being a standout. And, you know, maybe that's what would happen with Jarkel if he went to Georgia.
I don't think you'll see him in the NCAA tournament, like, winning games. But, yeah, could he be a terrific role player, a great six-man maybe to score baskets off the bench? Absolutely.
And maybe a starter. You just don't know. I mean,
yeah, you don't know how it'll develop. I mean, he could get into college, grow 3 more inches, and all of a sudden really
have
something.
Maybe give you a model citizen. He's all on the up and up guy.
Yeah,
and really nice.
And that really goes a long way. I'm not sure if enough coaches put enough emphasis on that sort of thing. So, anyway, that's you know, just one of those mysteries of recruiting, which is I've never liked recruiting. I don't like following it. I don't understand it. I'm not a great talent evaluator, so I tend to defer to a coach's judgment because they, you know, the good coaches at least tend to be right more than they're wrong. Obviously,
yeah. You know, I'm on my way out in my career, and I'm kind of glad I'm going out because recruiting is just getting bigger and bigger every year, and people are using hashtags about players and hashtags about their schools, and I'm going, can you spell that out, please? Or nobody. I mean, so that lets you know there's only still a small population of people that really follow that because they can pick up a hashtag.
And didn't Drew Tyler, Oxford's coach, say Jarkel's the best he's ever coached?
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah, he told Gene that, right? He said when he was a sophomore, he might be the best player.
And he's had some really good players.
Yeah, I asked him, you know, when he was a sophomore, after his sophomore year, he told me in an interview, he said, he may be, when it's all said and done, the best I've ever coached. So then this year when I talked with him to write a story on Jarkel, I asked him about that, and he says, I will say this, he is the best player I have ever coached.
Wow, that's something else. All right, let's switch gears. Kind of running a little bit long here. We're just going to hit this real quick. Coming up this weekend, we've got Friday, a couple of games we're covering. Belmont and Neusite girls.
Girl 1-3A. Girls.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, for next week, you got Belmont and Boonville. Boonville playing at Belmont, another 1-3A game. This was the one that was postponed when there was a threat of some kind of bad weather.
Yeah. Speaking of Belmont, Chris Higginbottom, the head coach, Gene, he's a –
won his 300th game last night. They beat Kossuth, a pretty good girls team. He's now 300 wins. I forgot the losses, but he's got a 77% winning percentage.
So, yeah, wow, that's pretty good. Yeah. Chris Higginbottom, been doing it for several years now there at Belmont.
Got four state championships, I believe. Chris, call me if I'm wrong. I think he's looking for five.
He's got several rings there, no doubt. And then, Blake, you're going to be, you mentioned this matchup earlier, Saltillo and Oxford's boys on Friday night. That'll be a good one with the Warren kid we mentioned and Jar Hill Joyner. Another chance to put up some big numbers there. So.
Yeah, squaring off a terrific point guard matchup to see how it goes down.
Yeah, good matchup there in 1-5A. Saturday, I believe you're going to this one, Gene. It's all the way down in Choctaw County. It's the Mid-Mississippi Challenge. We got a lot of area teams involved, though. We got Oxford's girls going to play East Webster's girls. New Sites girls will be there to play Holmes County. Ingomar's girls are going to play Choctaw Central. Pontotoc girls will play Columbus. Boonville girls will play Heidelberg, and Boonville's boys will be there as well to take on Choctaw County. So that's a pretty good looking lineup there, Gene.
And here's the two matchups that are intriguing. Ingomar plays Choctaw Central. Boonville plays Heidelberg. Heidelberg is the team Ingomar came back to beat in the championship game last year to win the 2A championship.
That's right. Won by
Boonville
point.
Boonville came back and beat Choctaw Central.
Why didn't they match those 3A. Two up? Why didn't they switch the matchups?
I know, why they just have, rematches. But no, so you've got, that's kind of interesting. Two area teams playing two out-of-area teams. And they're all finalists.
Is that a 9-game schedule there, Gene?
It is.
Seven girls, two boys games.
Yeah. Oh, Gary Beals down there at Choctaw County put this together. The reason there's a boys game thrown in there late is because Michael Smith at Boonville told him, said, I'll play in a game out down there in your tournament if you can get me a game for my boys. And Gary Beals goes, well, I'll play you.
Yeah. He coaches both there, doesn't he? Michael does. Yeah.
We'll play you. So that's how Boonville got in the tournament.
All right. Well, have fun at that one, Gene. Let's wrap things up now with Athletes of the Week. Do this every week, recognizing a male and a female athlete for their accomplishments from this past week. Let's start with the female athlete of the week. Who we got, Gene?
I thought that one was easy once I saw it. Adriana Gamble from Morville scored 17 points in the Lee County Tournament Championship game to lead Morville over Shannon. That had to have been an upset, 59-54.
Yep.
And she really got the game was tied going into the fourth quarter, and she scored 3 field goals in a run that put them ahead for keeps.
Good deal. So Adriana Gamble of Morville and the male athlete there. Who we got, Blake?
Cam Smith from Okolona.
Cam Smith.
We mentioned him a little bit earlier. He scored 17 points in a win, 83-43 victory over West Point on Saturday, and scored 33 points against Calhoun City last night.
Yeah. So
and hit all the big threes to kind of end Calhoun City's runs throughout the game.
Keep an eye on Cam Smith as the season goes on. So congrats to our Athletes of the Week here on Prep Rally. And that's it for this episode. We do appreciate y'all tuning in. Again, you can find us on Twitter at DJournal Preps. You can listen to us in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at preprally.djournal.com. Also, you can find in iTunes and any of your podcast apps The Memo, our news and entertainment podcast with myself and W. Derek Russell every Wednesday and Friday. You can find new episodes, and be sure again to check that out in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at memo.djournal.com. And every Thursday, double coverage, Ole Miss and Mississippi State Sports Talk with Paris Alford and Logan Lowry in iTunes, your podcast apps, or at doublecoverage.djournal.com. So that's it for this episode of Prep Rally. We'll be back next Wednesday. So until then, for Gene Phillips and Blake Morgan, I'm Brad Locke. Y'all have a good one.